So my take on the whole HPV vaccine is what sex got to do with it, how parents' views on sex impact the acceptability. I'd like to thank my co-authors, Abby Lee, Summer Bailey, and particularly Dr. Quinn Beasley, who's a PI, and a member of the ACIP. We would also like to acknowledge the participants and the research assistants. I have no relationship to disclose. As my colleagues have already mentioned, HPV is the most common sexually transmitted infection in the United States. It infects the anogenital region of both males and females, and is transmitted through skin-to-skin contact, which includes manual, oral, anal, and vaginal sex. HPV is the causative agent in genital warts, as well as related to cervical, vulvar, vaginal, anal, or pharyngeal and penile cancers. There were 60,000 HPV-associated cancerous cases in 2009, and it disproportionately affects minorities, as we've heard earlier today. In terms of the vaccine, in 2006, a quadrivalent vaccine for HPV was licensed for use in females aged 11 to 26 for prevention of genital warts and cervical, vaginal, and vulvar cancer. The Advisory Committee for Immunization Practices, the ACIP, recommended its use for females in this age group. Subsequently, the license was expanded to include prevention of genital warts in males and anal cancer in both males and females. And the initial ACIP recommendation following this expansion of the licensure was permissive to males receiving the vaccine, but was not routine as it was for females. But as my previous presenter just stated, this has since changed since last Tuesday. So it is now routinely recommended by the ACIP. It's recommended for routine recommendation. Despite the ACIP recommendations and the media campaigns to vaccinate young women, uptake among females has still remained low, with only 32% of females aged 13 to 17 nationwide reporting receipt of all three shots. Uptake among boys has been completely immeasurable, mostly because most parents don't know that HPV affects males, particularly because the vaccine campaign was really targeted towards cervical cancer, and most people are not aware of the HPV vaccine licensure for use in males. So this accessibility among parents of males is very important to measure. So our study objectives were to explore parents' knowledge of male HPV outcomes, their perceived susceptibility and severity of HPV infection and disease outcomes for their sons, and to determine how these factors impact parents' intent to vaccinate their sons against HPV infection. We used a mixed methods approach guided by the Health Belief Framework. We used a baseline survey to assess baseline knowledge, perceived susceptibility, severity, and demographic variables. And then we conducted focus groups with parents to assess these determinants in depth, as well as barriers to benefits of and intention to vaccinate. We recruited parents of boys aged 9 to 21 from various sources and conducted four single-sex focus groups, two for Spanish-speaking mothers and fathers and two for English-speaking mothers and fathers. Focus groups were conducted with a facilitator using a semi-structured guide using the Health Belief Model as a framework. And focus groups were just transcribed verbatim, coded for themes, and analyzed by multiple team members using grounded theory methods and the qualitative software at Atlas TRN. So although many different themes arose out of these discussions, many of the factors related to parents' decisions on whether to vaccinate their sons were directly related to sex, particularly when to give the vaccine or whether their child would be susceptible to HPV infection, given their perception of their child's sexual activity. As my previous presenter stated, there's a lot of stigma around around HPV infection among men, particularly around anal cancer. A lot of parents focus on anal cancer and on oropharyngeal cancer were directly related to their thoughts on anal sex and oral sex, respectively. So perceived susceptibility of anal cancer was related to the stigma. So one male said, you'd hope a male would be a male, and if I understand the anal cancer scenario, there's some type of skin-to-skin contact in the anal region. Most men are not going to allow you to touch them in the anal region. In response to a rumor that a male public figure had anal cancer, a mother said, I was curious, like, whoa. And the facilitator asked her why that reaction, and she said, because he had anal cancer. So the first thing that it made me thought was that he had been with another man, and he had had some virus transmitted, whether it was AIDS or HPV or whatever. So implicit in many of these parents' responses was an assumption of their son's heterosexuality and or that anal cancer only happened in cases of receptive anal sex. Interestingly, in contrast, many participants felt that oral cancer would be very common, since oral sex was very common in this day and age. Although I don't have this quote up here, one of the fathers said, well, you know, they say eating ain't cheating. So, you know, they really feel like a lot of people are having oral sex, so oral pharyngeal cancer was more common in their minds than anal cancer. Most of the discussion of the HPV vaccination was also based on timing, when they should give, whether they should give the HPV vaccine before or after onset of sexual activity. As was stated earlier, the recommendation is that it is given before onset of sexual activity, but some mothers didn't feel that that was appropriate. And most, the majority, I don't even know if it's the majority, but a lot of cervical cancer are saying it's caused by HPV. But I would still be hesitant, and I would wait until I knew for sure she was sexually active and that this vaccine had been around for a while. This mother was, this focus group was based on young boys, but she had a daughter, so she spent a lot of time talking about that. A response in that same focus group was, my concern with waiting until sexual activity is what happens on the first sexual activity. I mean, like, it could, like people get pregnant the first time. Suppose she's exposed to it that very first time. Fathers also discuss these issues, but they focus less on sexual debut and more on the sexual responsibility of their sons. I'd have to find out how he's thinking, whether or not he thinks he's invincible or not. And if he thinks he's invincible, then of course, based on this, I'm going to say, well, we need to get you this shot. But if he's speaking as a responsible young man, then I probably wouldn't do it. Another father said, was concerned about safety issues. You would think about, like they were saying, how the drug would affect them. And then it goes about the communication you have with your child. My son came to me and he was saying, Daddy, I'm out there and I'm just, you know, whipping every girl I can see. Then I would just say, you know, that's something that we've got to think about. And once again, it's a maturity level. This is a recurring theme in the focus group, since HPV is a sexually transmitted disease. Other prevention methods, such as abstinence and being responsible, were central to the discussion. Some people felt that abstinence should be promoted above and beyond vaccination and condom use. A very spirited Latino mother said, we don't always have to follow the system, saying that because since everyone is doing it, then it's the most logical and normal thing, so now we have to do it. It's like with infidelity in a marriage, it is fashionable. So since it's fashionable, should I go to my husband and say, please, when you find another woman, please use a condom so you don't get me infected. She was relating that to giving condoms to your children, a direct comparison to that. Others felt that abstinence, particularly in this day and age, was desired, but unlikely. You know, telling teenagers no sex at all is just like telling them it's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. A father said, although I want him to wait as long as he can, knowing what's out there, and there's things out there basically that could kill him, I would probably want him to go ahead and take the vaccine. Since most parents did want their children to abstain from sex for as long as possible, some felt that parents would be afraid that the HPV vaccine would encourage sex, which is common among women. That among parents of young girls as well, and these were mostly talking about that. It's given them a permission slip to go ahead, you know. Okay, well, you're vaccinated, so now you it's okay if you want to go out and have your little fun. So that's just permission to have sex. Others, particularly fathers, felt that this was less a concern with sons than with daughters. I have a son, but no daughters, and I think we, as fathers, we have it a little easier to talk to our sons about it. Or if we want him to get the vaccine, we don't feel like we're pushing them into sex. But with daughters, I think a lot of people are afraid they're giving them a license to sex. Like, it's okay, it's time, we need to go get your shots. And then how do you also say, but I don't want you to have sex, or you're too young? This difference in how fathers reacted differently with their sons and daughters came up again. In contrast, some parents felt that they would be more hesitant to vaccinate their sons than their daughters. There's a double standard, and I know it's not correct, but men hold their daughters as princesses. We don't want anybody messing with our daughters. We don't even want to think about them having sexual activity before they're married, knowing that's probably going to be unrealistic at some point. I would err more on the yes to be inoculated side for the female for my daughter than I would for my son. And another father said, it's a lot easier to get parents to say protect your daughter from men than it would be to get us to say you need to protect your son from the women. This sentiment was echoed in Latino mother and father focus groups. However, the English-speaking mothers felt that females were becoming the aggressors and thus putting their sons at risk. One mother talked about how older women were more common. I guess that sons are more a little bit more sneaky. Like I said, they're more or less easier to be swayed in sexual activity. Girls their age, older than them. Because, you know, it's alarming the rate of, you know, older women that are starting to deal with younger boys now. This one mother was talking about how her boys were being chased around the playground by little girls and said, I have two sons that are 10 and 11, and, you know, I've already told them to stay away from those little nasty girls. But if they could see the slide, which was mentioned from one of the gentlemen in the back, we showed them slides of penile cancer and warts and very graphic images, and so that's what she was referring to. They probably would stay away. These sentiments reflect the feelings of blame on certain types of women who might be carriers of HPV. This speaks to the misconception that only certain types of women are at risk and fails to recognize how common the disease is among girls and women, or the infection is, I should say. Like abstinence and staying away from those nasty little girls, other prevention methods such as condoms were discussed. Some were concerned that the HPV vaccine would overshadow the condom discussion. One mother, a nurse who worked with HIV patients, was adamant about stressing condoms. And you can't see it. You can see a genital wart. Not that you shouldn't, you know, but you can't see HIV. So condoms, 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 condoms. That's what's going on in my head through this whole conversation. Like condoms. The vaccine is good too, but condoms. Others felt very differently. A father in another focus group stated that the vaccine could be extra protection since condom use is not likely to be consistent. If you're having sex, I don't care. You can preach condom, 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 condom all you want to. It's going to happen when you're not going to want, you're not going to use one, or that one time that you didn't get enough or didn't buy enough, you run out and you're still going to want to, you know. So I say 100%. These statements of prevention of HPV through abstinence, condom use, and suitable partners is at the crux of why HPV vaccination is not seen in the same way as other routine childhood vaccinations are. One Latina mother stated, I think that other diseases, measles, chickenpox, and all those develop in a natural manner. Well, I am still not certain what is the cause of human papillomavirus, but I think that this is a virus which can be prevented, while the other ones are viruses which we cannot prevent. Measles, etc., are seen as disease that cannot be prevented through any means other than vaccination. So because of that, HPV vaccines are not seen as necessary. However, this is in direct contrast to what we hope to happen, that it does become a routine recommendation. So one parent said, put that one up in there, you know what I'm saying? What you waiting on? I mean, give it to them as early as you can, before they start walking if you got to. We give them German measles and this, and diphtheria and this, might as well give them that too. So, and that is kind of where things are headed, and that's where a lot of the controversy is, that it should become this routine vaccination given with the other vaccinations that are given at that time period in pre-adolescence. Others discuss felt that the HPV vaccine could be another element of prevention, not to the exclusion of, but in addition to education, condom use, and abstinence promotion. To prevent a cold, you need to dress right, you need to eat right, take vitamin C, drink orange juice, So with all of those things together, hopefully we can protect our children, like boost the amount of protection they can get. So if they get the injection, they use the condom, they get education, hopefully with all of that, they'll be as protected as we can protect. It will be the highest that we can get, you know, without just being there, you know, being in the room with them while, and she went like this, like. So, in conclusion, many parents are in favor of the HPV vaccination, but their main focus is on protecting their children. That came up in every single focus group, protecting their children. And that thread also leads to the more conservative parents not wanting to give the HPV vaccination. One, because they wanted to their children to be abstinent and protect them from other STIs, and others still had safety concerns about the HPV vaccination and they didn't want to have harmful side effects. So in conclusion, the HPV vaccine is now routinely recommended for boys and it should be a part of comprehensive prevention. Media messages regarding HPV vaccination need to be multifaceted to address different groups of parents. Some parents, there's definitely a huge still need for increased knowledge, information on HPV outcomes, susceptibility, and how common it is among women and men should be stressed. Safety concerns still need to be addressed. And the sex argument should not be ignored, but vaccination should be framed in a protection framework, in the same way that condoms and abstinence and education are. And some recommend that the focus should be on the disease and not the sex act, stressing that vaccination is most effective before sexual activity. So when you focus on HPV infection and the potential causes versus anal sex and oral sex and all of these kind of things that you don't want to associate with your child, and stressing that they will eventually have sex, even if it's with their partner for life, they will eventually have sex, and those, since HPV is so common, that's protection for that. So those are my references, and any questions?